This is Vision Destiny 2019. I'll be sharing some of my 2008 journals. Some of those things will include what God did and said in 2018. What does that mean for us, though, for 2019? What does God want to reveal and unveil to us in 2019? What does God want us to do? Where does he want us to go? Where does he want to take us in 2019? So that we can really embrace the fullness of what God is doing. Understand the times and the seasons that we're in, and begin to embrace more fully our sonship in the purposes of God and what God is doing in the restoration of all things. As I said in all the other sessions, please don't believe anything I say just because I say it. If you resonate with anything I say in your spirit, or if you object strongly to anything I share, take it back to God and openly ask him to give you direct revelation for yourselves. I can only share information about my revelation. That revelation has come through my personal face-to-face encounters and experiences with God in the realms of heaven and beyond. But only by engaging God yourselves can you have a revelation, not information. And I would encourage you to pursue. Take everything back to God. Engage God for yourselves so that he can speak to you the way he wants to speak to you, direct to your hearts. We all need to know the truth. And to know the truth is not intellectual knowledge, but personal experience and encounter. Both in the Old Covenant, Hebrew, and the New Covenant Greek, the word know really means intimate personal knowledge by experience. We in the Western world have saw knowledge as something which is knowing about something intellectually, but not necessarily knowing it personally. I'd encourage you, know the truth. Know the truth as a person. Engage the spirit of truth to unveil the way, the truth, and the life in fullness by experience. Love is my plumb line for truth and interpreting what God says to me and interpreting the Bible. Love is the very nature and character of God, and we must use love when we're interpreting everything. God said to me, if it's not unconditional love, it is not me. If it is love, it is me, and love must be unconditional and otherly, in other words, expressed towards others, otherwise it's not love at all. So love is really, really important. In session 3, I shared that God talked about love and love's light multiple times during 2018. And during these sessions, you'll see this repeated. God does repeat himself to me many, many times until I begin to appreciate the significance and importance of what he's saying. Love and light are intertwined. God is love. God is light, God is spirit, God is a consuming fire. They're the direct analogies that are representing God. Isaiah 61:3 says, arise, shine, for your light has come. Now we know that's Jesus as the light of the world. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, this was an old covenant prophecy by Isaiah, prophesying the new covenant, the day in which we live, in which the light will have come, and then God's glory, his very essence of who he is, the weight of that essence, which is love, will have risen upon us. And then for we can then shine. We can begin to radiate the light and the frequency of love that will penetrate the deep darkness of the peoples of the earth. And as that presence of love rises upon us, his glory will appear upon us. That's love. Nations will come to our light when we begin to reflect that love, when we begin to demonstrate that love, when we reveal that love, when we love. As we're loved, kings come to the brightness of our rising. If we are not demonstrating true love, if we are not loved and know the love of God by personal experience, we will never be able to rise and shine, and our brightness will be dim. We must shine in the light of love. Let love's light shine brightly in our lives, It means we need to know love, and then we then can demonstrate that love. When we as sons of God live loved, we will be shining and radiating the light of love. So it's so vital that we live loved, that we live from that constant state of bliss, knowing that we are loved totally unconditionally as children of God. The world will see the manifestation of sonship on the earth and be drawn to God's true nature, love, that we reveal as we demonstrate that true love. We are to demonstrate what God is really like. And I would say that what we've demonstrated has not expressed the reality of who God is. In fact, it's hidden that reality. Jesus said about light, you don't have a lampstand and you hide it under a bucket. And I would say that the light that we're supposed to shine, the light that we are to the world, has been hidden under a veil, under a bucket of religion, under a conditional love based on obedience. And we've presented not a God who is love, but a God who's angry, and a God who demands appeasement, and a God who functions through law. When we fully experience the love of God, it will begin to challenge and change those perceptions in us. And then we will begin to demonstrate a different God to the world, a true God. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over it. That was the sonship mandate. That is still the sonship mandate. Blessing was love's empowerment in action to prosper and succeed in being fruitful, having fruitfulness, and the authority to live loved. Therefore, love living, filled with joy for life, and live loving, filled with love demonstrated through forgiveness, through blessing others in a totally different way than it is seen today. And the world actually looks at it through what we call the institutional church. God had that initial blessing, and then God commanded by saying to Aaron, speak to Aaron, speaking to Moses, and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. So even though this priesthood had been set up, which is what the people demanded, not what God wanted. God wanted a marriage relationship of intimacy in which everyone would come to him and experience him for themselves. But they said, we're going to send Moses. Even that, God wanted the blessing to come through in that. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. Here is a restoration back to that original mandate. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Love, joy, and peace. Even under that old system, right within the heart of it was God's desire to bring blessing to his children, and through his children to bring that blessing into the world, because Israel were called to be a light to the Gentiles, not to exclude them from that light, but to demonstrate what it was to have a relationship with God and have God to be their king, that the world would want a relationship with God through that. They failed. Let's make sure we do not fail. Let's be blessed to be a blessing to others. God desires through our sonship as royal priests that creation is blessed and fully represented. So like we need to, in sonship, as priests, bring that blessing into creation, to bring that blessing, to have a countenance which is fair, to have grace and blessing being administrated. So being blessed by God is knowing him as true love, which brings joy and peace to our lives and begins to answer creation's groaning under a lack of love, grace, and mercy. I've encountered Esther a number of times in 2018, and I'll go into more detail about those encounters in other sessions. But Esther 2:17, it says, the king loved Esther more than all the women. Now, God doesn't love us more than any other individual. We're all loved the same. But he does love us, especially within creation. And she found favor and kindness with him more than all the others. Now, think of this as God in our sonship, and our sonship is unique and special within the whole of creation, that God wants to demonstrate favor and kindness towards us, so that he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of the old. And I want to encourage you to pursue that relationship in which you know that you are loved and favored and know God's kindness and know his royal crown upon your head. For that to take place, the old queen, Vashti, had to be removed for the new queen, Esther, to come into place. Esther 4:14 talks about being called to the kingdom for a time such as this, or called to royalty and favor with the king for a time such as this. We are all called for a time such as this, to know our royalty, to know that place where we're seated in heavenly places, to know that we are a royal priesthood representing creation before God and having the authority of the kingdom to outwork that kingdom government so there's no end to the increase of his government and peace. That is our mandate. That's our call as sons. The new love relationship must replace and succeed the old DIY self in our lives. And that's so important. This love relationship, which we have, needs to replace the old do-it-yourself, selfish, self-centered life if we're going to fully embrace that royal favor and royal priesthood that we're called to. There is a preparation of the heart for succession, where we surrender the old life under the soul to live from the Spirit. And God is preparing us for that. And we need to embrace the process that we go through to give up the old, to embrace the new. The separation of soul and spirit, the reintegration of soul and spirit, body coming together in oneness and wholeness. Love is kind. Being kind is wanting the best for others. God wants our best. He wants the best for all his children so that they can become mature sons. And that is not just those that believe in him. That is all his children, everyone that he has created. Proverbs 3:12, again repeated in Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. God corrects us, trains us to bring us to receive the best and so that we release the best. He wants to bring the best to us and from us release his best, which is love. And that's the key, releasing love into the world, releasing the goodness and kindness and patience and tolerance of God into the world. I would say that what the religious institution releases anything but that. Intolerance, impatience, so many negatives. We need to see that change. We need to experience the love of God. So Jesus, when he was here, gave his disciples a new commandment. This is not the law. This is the summing up of the law in relationship. This is grace. That you love one another, even as I have loved you. And this is the key. We cannot love one another, the world, unless we have been loved. That's why it's so important that we lived loved. That you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. So love is the characteristic of discipleship of followers of Jesus. If you love one for another, if you have that love one for another, how can we possibly do that? Otherwise, it will become a law that we have to try and fulfill out of our own do-it-yourself effort unless we know that we are loved. We must be loved to be able to love, to know what true love is, not the false love, the brotherly love, or the erotic love that the world promotes as love, but true, otherly, giving love, a love that's willing to lay down their lives for others. That's true love, as Jesus demonstrated that love by going to the cross for us and taking our place and taking our death so that we would not need to die, and then we can receive the fullness of love. We need to experience that love to be able to give that love. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. The only way that we can truly love, what love really is, as a description of who God is as love is because he first loved us. And he loved us before we ever loved him. He demonstrated his love for us before we ever came to him. It's always that he has gone and taken that first step towards us. Love is not conditional. It's not a law that we have to strive to keep. It is not, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind and all your strength. Love is unconditional, a relationship that we experience and demonstrate to others. When our relationship with God should enable us to shine with a light and love which draws people to us, we need to arise and shine that love. Therefore, we need to experience that love in such a deep way. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. How? In that while we were yet sinners, we lost our identity, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't come and only die for those who were his followers. He came to take away the sin, the lost identity of the world, who were perishing in that lost identity. He died for us. Even on the cross, his response was, Father, forgive them. No one asked for forgiveness, but he gave it. It's all about otherly giving, undeserved, unconditional love. He demonstrated his own love towards us. Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, this is to everybody. Since the resurrection, since everyone was born again from above, everyone has the capacity to engage God through the Spirit who has been sent upon all flesh so that we would truly know his love. So I would encourage you to embrace that love, to be loved, to know what that love is all about. I'd encourage you to fully embrace what that love demonstrates so that we can begin to demonstrate that love for ourselves. We can begin to experience that love for ourselves and therefore demonstrate that love to others in a completely different way. Matthew 5:43 demonstrates this. You have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That was how they interpreted the law in the old covenant. That's how they tried to interpret that law. That's how they tried to demonstrate what God was like. And he wasn't like that at all. And Jesus came to unveil that and reveal it and unveil and reveal the truth. To reveal that truth in a totally different way. You have heard it said. Who'd they hear it from? Whoever was interpreting what they thought God said under the old covenant. But I say to you, now here is the truth coming to reveal a totally different dimension of truth. Here is some God coming to reveal that truth in a completely different way. Here is God coming in a way which unveils and reveals a totally different dimension of truth. Here is a different way that God wants to unveil and reveal what truth is. So I want to encourage you to engage that, engage with it, engage the truth with it. I say unto you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. So even those that are in a sense in their own minds enemies towards God, even those who are in their own minds at enmity with God, even those that persecute believers in God, our response should be to love them so that you may be sons of your Father who loves the world. And it goes on to express what that's like, who is in heaven, for he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. He does not favor one child over another child. He wants all his children to be blessed and therefore to be a blessing. So we need to demonstrate love in a completely different way to actually love our enemies, to begin to love things in a totally different dimension. So I want to encourage you to pursue that love. Pursue that love. So let's learn as sons of God to be a blessing to the world in which we live. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. Now, is this conditional only to those who love God? Then it adds this, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's everybody. We're all called according to his purpose. So yes, of course God wants to bring good to us who know God's love, but he also wants to bring good to those who don't yet know his love. We're all called with a destiny and a purpose within his kingdom. God did not choose some people and not others. All are called. Maybe few have responded to that call yet, but all are called. Romans 13:10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So everything that we call the law is fulfilled in true love. Galatians 5:14 reiterates this. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That one word is God is love. God is love. Everything is to be a reflection and a demonstration of that love. Everything needs to be summed up and fulfilled in love. How? We need to live loved by God. We need to live in a place where we know we're loved unconditionally as his children, that we trust him. We're not under the law. That makes love conditional. That's what the law does. It makes love conditional on obedience and says, love with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength and everything else, or else. That's a conditional thing which we have majored on and presented to the world. Love God or else. That isn't love at all. You can't force love. No one forces God to love his children. He loves his children because he's our father. It's his who he is. It's his nature. It's his character. It's the very essence of who he is. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us. Who's the us? Everybody. In him before the foundation of the world. It has to be everybody if it's before the foundation of the world. Before anyone ever was, he chose all his children in that way that we would be holy and blameless before him. In other words, we would be able to have a relationship with him in love. Now notice, in love is the center of these two clauses. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world in love, because that's who he is, in love. And then he predestined us. In other words, he has our destiny to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. It's always been his desire to have a relationship with us and for us to have a relationship with him. And he has put in place, even before the foundation of the world, that which would enable that to take place. And he, through Jesus, through the Son, gave himself to enable that to take place. The blood was shed on the foundation stone of creation to ensure that relationship would always be possible. And his desire that we would all have a destiny as his sons. Because that's the kindness of his will. That's what love does. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And then it goes on to describe the foundation that love, joy, and peace does in the character and nature of God. It reveals patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. There is no law, because this is grace. This is love. The foundation of God's nature is love, joy, and peace. That reveal his patience, kindness, goodness, etc. When we know that we're loved, then we know God's love. God is kind and God is good and God is patient. Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is when we begin to realize, when we encounter him, like Paul did on the Damascus Road. Read it in Galatians 1:16, that God was pleased to reveal that Christ was in him, was already within his heart, and therefore faith arose for him to then believe that. And then he had this message to go and preach the same gospel that Jesus was in the Gentiles, at work to reveal himself. Now, when we know the revelation of that love in our hearts, we can be rooted and grounded in love. Everything in love. And may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, all human ability to try and fathom it out or work it out or in logic understand it. It must be experienced. And that love, which is so wide, so high, so long, so deep, that we may be filled up to the fullness of God, the fullness of love. God wants us to experience and know this love. Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. Because of great love, God must be rich in mercy. God must be rich in grace because of his great love, which he loved us. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. This isn't a commandment to walk in something that's not possible. It's impossible in our own strength, but in relationship, as we know the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the love of the Spirit, that we know that we're loved, then we can walk in that love. And how did Jesus demonstrate that love? He gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. He took our death so that we could have abundant, overflowing life. Walking in love is radiating the light of love to a world so that the world can be drawn to engage a relationship with the Father themselves. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint, supplies. That's the relationship of love between us, according to the proper working of each individual part. Walking in love causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This is how we're supposed to be. This is how the world is going to see what God is really like, through us living in this loving way. Colossians 3:14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. It's what brings us together in intimacy with God. It's what brings us together in relationship with one another. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Titus 3:4, but when the kindness of our God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. What did he do? He saved us. So when God's love, which is a demonstration, obviously, of his grace and mercy to mankind, to us as his children, he saved us. Now, he saved us. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't do anything to receive that salvation. He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness. Even the best things we can do, even the best of our righteousness, is described as filthy rags, but according to his mercy. See, it's his mercy, which is a demonstration of his love, which calls us to save mankind. Everybody, not just those that know it yet, but everybody. Unconditional love, not based on our performance. That is what real love is all about. And God has reconciled the cosmos to himself, not counting anything against us. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he, through Jesus, has saved us. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone knows, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So there are those who don't know God, and because they've not yet experienced his love, and therefore they're not demonstrating that love, which is the true love, which is the nature of God. They may love. They may love their children. They may love in lots of different ways. They may love their wife, their husband. But if they don't know truly the love of God, then that love is always going to come out of the soul. And God wants us to love, not just out of the soul, but out of the spirit. 1 John 4:8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if we're not demonstrating that true love, that true unconditional love, then we don't know God. We do not know God. We may know about God. We may have a relationship with him, but that does not know that we really know him as love. And we need to know him as love. Love is the key to living an abundant life, the life that God has for us, the life that Jesus promised, the life that he is. 1 John 4:16, we have come to know, again, by experience, and believed. When you experience, you believe the love which God has for us. They knew, as his disciples, Jesus' disciples, they knew God's love for them. God is love. And the one who abides in love or dwells in that love, continues in that love, experiences that love, abides in God. So we live in God because we live in his love. And God abides in him. So God lives in us to reveal and unveil that love. By this, love is perfected within us. It's a process of knowing love. You don't have a relationship with someone in a minute, in a second. You have a relationship with someone over time. And that love relationship is perfected or completed or finished or outworked in us as we continue in this relationship. So we get to know God in a deeper way. So we get to know what love really is in a deeper way. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Now, this is so, so important when it comes to the way in which we present the good news, the gospel, the message of God is love. We cannot present it with fear. If we present it in fear, we're not actually presenting the true nature and the character of God, because God is the author of no fear. God does not want us to fear him in that way. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So when we engage that perfect love, which is who God is, when we engage love, because that's what it's saying, it casts out fear. There is no need to fear. Religion always brings fear and uses fear to put a conditional nature of if we're obedient, we will experience love. There is no fear in love, because fear involves punishment. Now, what have we presented to the world? You are going to be punished unless you love God. That is a totally wrong misperception of who God is as love and of the very nature of God himself. There is no fear in love. So if we're using fear of punishment, it is not coming from God. It is coming out of the do-it-yourself religious perspective that we have misinterpreted and misrepresented who God is to the world. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. So we may have some fears yet because we've not yet fully embraced who God really is. We love because he first loved us. And we're never going to love God unless we know his love. And we're never going to know his love if we're associating it with fear and punishment, because that is conditional. That is under the law. We need to know the perfect love of God, to know God in perfect love, to know God as love, to know God is love. That will cast out all this fear that's come through the religious things that we may have been taught about God. The fear if we don't do this and do that and do the other, if we don't read our Bible, if we don't pray every day, if we don't go to church, if we don't do this, that in some way that we will be punished. God loves us, and he wants us to know that love. Revelation 2:4, but I have this against you. You've left your first love. Now, I would ask you to ask that question. Did you ever have first love? Did you really ever know God in that deep way as love? Or have you had a relationship with him that has been based in a religious system, whichever system or stream that is, rather than in the true face-to-face, intimate relationship with him. And whether we did have a first love experience and we really did know that God loves us and God is love, and yet we've left that to do what? Why does he say, I have this against you? Because in the previous verse, it talks about that you're doing all these amazing things. This was talking to one of the churches. I think of the church in Ephesus. That you were doing all these amazing things. You were feeding the poor. You were doing these amazing things. And yet, now you're doing it out of obligation and duty. Now you're doing it to earn love rather than doing those things from the first love that you have. Of course, it's a great thing to minister to people, to care for people, to help the poor, to help those who are addicted, to help anyone who are your neighbors. But if you're doing it out of duty, then you're doing it out of obligation. You're not doing it out of love. Make sure that you've not left your first love. Make sure you have a first love, which is why it's so important to open our first love gate. Why it's so important in opening that first love gate that we embrace the love of God on a daily basis, that we're embraced by love, that we know that we're loved, that we experience the Father, Son, and Spirit loving us, hugging us, heart to heart, expression of their presence within us, so that we can then, from that love, love others. Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Now, don't think punishment. There is no punishment in love, but there is discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Now, again, we associate repentance with the wrong translation of the word, which is being sorry for what we've done. And if we're not sorry for what we've done, God won't forgive us. God has already forgiven us. It's not conditional on our sorrow. It's conditional on receiving his forgiveness. That's the only thing. We just have to receive it. We don't have to earn it or do anything for it. Repentance is not penance for what we've done wrong, which is what the church again has taught through the Latin translation of the word in Greek, metanoia. So repent, metanoia means a change of mind or agreeing with mind, with God's mind about him, about us, and about creation. That's what true repentance is. Accepting and knowing what he says, and being in full agreement with it. Our loving Heavenly Father is wooing us into a deeper and more intimate love relationship with him. This is what he is doing in these days, wanting to reveal himself as love, wanting to break through all those barriers, remove all those veils, stop everything that's hindering us truly knowing what it is to be loved. When we live loved, it challenges the false religious beliefs about God's nature that have come from conditional, non-relational, law-based love promoted through religion. God is wanting to deconstruct our minds, to transform our lives, to bring us back to the simplicity of a love relationship. And as a result of that, it motivates me to legislate as a son of God. And this is some of the things that I've been doing. I call for the revealing of the truth of love through angelic visitations, dreams of Jesus, Holy Spirit convictions, hope as a new sound frequency of love resonating and released through the sons of God as gateways of heaven's hope into the world and beyond. Now I'm going to read that again. And as I read it, I want you to close your eyes and just allow the call of these words to resonate within you as I release this frequency, this sound. Just allow this truth. Let that frequency begin to resonate in your spirit. I call for the revealing of the truth of love. Let that truth surround you. I call that that love will come through angelic visitations, dreams of Jesus, Holy Spirit convictions, that this hope, this new sound frequency, this this sound resonating with love will be released into the sons of God, and as gateways of heaven, that hope that love brings will be released into the world and beyond. The love of God. Just let that love, that frequency resonate within you, resonate within your mind, resonate within your soul, resonate within your being, revealing His love. Let His love be revealed. I call for the opening of everlasting doors over your lives, over your blueprints, over where you live, where your heart is, and for preparation that drips and drops of the river of life, of real love, would touch your lives with deep love encounters of face-to-face intimacy. Even now, let the Father take you into that place of face-to-face intimacy. Let His love as light shine over you. Let His countenance be fair. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed by that amazing love. Be blessed. Be blessed. I call for Jesus to be lifted up so that the way, the truth, and the life can be seen as the light of the good news of love that will penetrate the darkness of the hardest hearts. If you have a hard heart, perhaps you've been hurt. Perhaps you've been hurt by church. Perhaps you've been hurt by people. Perhaps you feel you've been let down and hurt by God. Let that good news of real love, let that light penetrate those hard areas within your heart to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring restoration. Let that healing frequency begin to resonate within your heart, breaking down those barriers, breaking down those hard areas. Let Him reveal Himself as the lover of your soul. Let Him reveal Himself as the one that holds you as the treasure in His heart, that sees you as the apple of His eye, the one in whom His soul delights. And let that truth begin to resonate within you, healing you, making you whole. I assign angels to engage with the future ambassadors of the different people groups of the world yet to know the love of God, to engage them with powerful demonstrations of true love. I call for the release of smart bombs of love that will dissolve away as they explode over people's lives. Dissolve away all the opposition, the lies, the deception, the false doctrine, the false theology, the veiling, stopping people from seeing the true Jesus, knowing the true Father, experiencing true, unconditional love. Let unconditional love be released into this world through God's people, through supernatural manifestations of angelic and others. Let the love of God be manifested. I call for the manifestations of true love, joy, peace, to engage the seekers after truth, and for those who are presently atheists to meet with the truth in life-changing encounters of love's light. Let love's light shine. 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 True manifestations of love. Just let that love surround you. Let love bring you into a new place of intimacy, freeing you from fear. Let that perfect love cast out fear. Let that perfect love cast out fear. Let that perfect love cast out fear from your hearts. That the true revelation of who God is as love be revealed and unveiled and released. True love. Experience true love. True love. Love is the key. Sonship is the state of being actively and intimately engaged with the Father's heart in love. Living in a love relationship and loving what the Father loves by taking our positions of authority and responsibility towards creation as sons of God, as those who are risen, shining with light. Live loved, love living, and live loving. Motivated by the heart of the Father's love in the eternal now, engage Him in that eternal place within His heart. To legislate in the what is, the four faces of God in the name of God, the Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Yod Heh Shin Vav Heh, to create what will be. We are responsible to be history makers. We are responsible to see God's heart of love revealed to a world by aligning the end with the beginning. Love's light shining, drawing the creation to Himself through our sonship. That's God's desire. Let's embrace it. Son, I trust you with who I am to be my representative for the possibilities of restored sonship, where living loved, loving living, and living loving is the true reality of knowing my fatherhood. Son, call for my sons to arise and be relationally responsible once again, to rediscover who they truly are. Son, connect to creation's groan, feel the loss and the separation between mankind and its position of sonship within the creative order. All subsequent fragmentation is but a symptom of the original decision to create another pathway. The message of reconciliation is the power of true love, hope being restored by my reconciliation of the cosmos to myself through the cross. When I live, when I in Christ along with Spirit, and this is God speaking, when I in Christ along with Spirit answered my children's cry of separation by substitution ourselves in their death, we also open the possibility that all can come into the circle of love, which is our relationship through the resurrection. God has made it possible for everybody to experience that love. We need to shine love's light so that people will be drawn to that love, to that relationship. Son, there is the longing deep within even the darkest soul to seek the answers that are found only within love's eternal memory. Son, if you can live loved and encourage the Joshua generation as sons to live loved, then those who are lost in fragmentation will be drawn to the true me, who you are revealing. The world needs to see true love, and those who truly live loved are the only real ambassadors. Son, to live loved is to live trusting my faithfulness within the security of the relationship circle, which is me. I am. Christ in you is the hope of glory. But you in Christ is the essence of the restored identity of inclusion. Son, the fragmented soul is trying to find love through all the do-it-yourself tree trades. When I am is but an encounter away. Son, help remove the veils of darkness and deception, so all my children can see and know the light of love. The river of fire flowing from the blazing fire of the throne of the Ancient of Days is a representation of love in kingdom authority to bring purification and refining. The firestones represent the 9 steps of ascension to be seated by the right hand of Jesus next to the Father, by the river of fire, by the firestones. The way is the way of fire. The fiery sword shows the way to the tree of life. I am is a consuming fire of love. I am is love, and the fire is true love demonstrated. We all face fire, willingly or not. The judgment seat is fire to purify our scrolls and realign our destiny. Our scroll is constantly being updated in the now of God's heart, relationally, to enable us to fulfill our role in the restoration and fulfillment of all things that has been spoken. There is fire in his eyes and a sword in his mouth. What he sees will be judged by fire, but not to death, but life. God is love. That love will bring life, not death. We choose death, he chooses life. The river of fire and the river of life both flow from the throne of God. There are multiple thrones representing different kingdom functions. Fire and living water are both expressions of God's heart, grace, mercy, love, character, and nature. They don't indicate the old or and new or the two-faced God. That's what religion presents. Baptism in water occurs this side of the veil, and baptism in fire occurs the other side of the veil. God's love is the same as God's jealousy. God's anger and God's wrath are the passion and love that burns against everything that's keeping his children in lostness of the DIY tree path. Note that. God is not angry with his children, but God is angry with that anything keeping us from our identity and destiny as children of God. You're authorized by the ministry and calling of reconciliation to restore relationship with God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, in perfect union. You're authorized to administer reconciliation by releasing the sound of deep calling to deep, to reach and touch the most fragmented and fractured parts of creation. Now, this authorization is to us as the Joshua generation. You are authorized to speak the word of reconciliation with a force able to penetrate every prison or hiding place. You're authorized to release a frequency of love to engage the deepest traumas with the hope of the very essence of peace. You're authorized to cross all barriers and boundaries that divide and separate, to reconcile, reintegrate, and restore all divisions, dichotomies, and fragmented parts into peace and wholeness. You're authorized to issue the challenge of love's essence that will call to attention the spirits of all who are lost and perishing in the captivity of traumas, prisons. You're authorized to shine the light of love into the deepest, darkest recesses of fractured souls to reveal the love's essential message of wholeness. You are authorized to call for gathering angels to carry this message of reconciliation, integration, wholeness across all barriers, partitions, boundaries, and trans-dimensional matrices. You're authorized to use every method, including sound, light, fragrance, frequency, words, music, touch, emotion, tears, that carry the original intent of God's eternal desire for I am oneness. You're authorized to be repairers of the breaches, rebuilders of the ruins, restorers of broken dwellings, relayers of damaged foundations. I release the sound of heaven to draw seekers to the light of the truth. I call for the smart bombs of light and love to be laser guided by the hunter-gatherer angels to the souls of the cults, new age gurus, occult witches and warlocks, imams, religious leaders, clerics. I call for a campaign of love to be waged to reveal the true light, dreams, visions, encounters with the truth. Sun, whole races and people groups are held in deception's captivity. I've been calling you to seek my heart of love for all that crosses all barriers and boundaries of space-time. Sun, there is truly no place that my love cannot reach if you are willing to be a willing expression of love's light to those in the darkness of captivity and deception. Sun, you will need to be a forerunner and raise up others to be ambassadors of love to other races and dimensions. Sun, you are willing to risk it all, go beyond with the heart, my heart's message and desire for reconciliation and restoration. My answer was yes. Now, if you read into this, what God was asking me to do, to go beyond my comfort zone for sure, was to engage other races and other dimensions. Now, this is a hot topic, a topic where people have all sorts of different views and opinions, and I have some experience of this. Because this was a choice. I didn't have to say yes to this. In fact, I didn't really want to say yes to this. But as I realize how the love of God, how deep and wide and high and broad, how that love is, then you can't fail to want to see others experience that love, wherever they're from. So I said yes to this, and I have some experiences which I may share in the other sessions. Sun, this love agenda, where all things of the created order will be returned to relational connectedness within my unity. Sun, no one who becomes intimately equated with the thoughts and intentions of love revealed through knowing me could fail to see their destiny within the desires of my heart. God wants to reveal to us who we really are. I created all things to relate together, unique and individual, yet only fully complete when in the harmonious union of the whole. The removal of all fragmentation, fracturedness, and brokenness to restore wholeness is the ultimate goal of restoration. I am continually working all things together for good to facilitate restored wholeness. It was my desire, it is my desire, and will continue to be my desire to restore wholeness, that there will never be an end to the increasing peace throughout my expanding kingdom. The process of restoration is not fixed or fatalistic, but is fluid and flexible because the participation of my children who need to mature to sonship is required. As I stood within the heart of God, I began to sense a different essence and fragrance of love. Now, I've had many experiences where I've stood in eternity, in the eternal now, within the heart of God, within the mind of God. But this time, it started to unveil something deeper. I guess maybe all my other experiences had brought me to a place where now I was able to experience and know the truth in a different dimension. But I began to experience the fragrance of love and sense a different, totally different depth of essence to it. A joyous expectancy of parents awaiting their children's big day. Performed on the world stage, I started to feel the heart of God's desire for us as his children. As him being a dad, I felt the love of a father for his children. I just began to catch that truth within the conversation of I am. And my countenance began to change from knowing love to feeling joy within total peace. It took me to a deeper level of experience. And it began to change how I saw and see the world and see other people and see other dimensions and everything else. Because I began to really, really know God's love and feel that joy and total peace that he wants the whole of creation to come back into that harmonious, wonderful union. This is what God said, I treat all my children equally in regards to my love. As they're all special to me, the apples of my eye, the treasure of my heart, but I have made each one unique and one of a kind. I long for my children to return to the place of their conception within the recesses of my heart so that they can truly know me and have a deeper revelation of who they are as my sons, heirs, and inheritors of all that I have created for them and all that I have created them for. My sons were conceived to be co-creators, not just co-heirs. as they are all made in our image, endued with the abilities of sonship. I desire to restore everything, including their identity, position, authority, abilities, knowledge, wisdom, relationship, and connection to the created order. Son, listen. Listen carefully to the rhythm of my heart. Do you hear it? Do you feel it? Now, what I felt when I stopped to listen, to feel, I felt love, joy and peace. I felt secure. I felt safe, comforted. And behind all that, I felt the desire of your heart, the passion and zeal for the destinies of all your children. Now, this was my conversation with him. He asked me, do you hear it? Do you feel it? And this is what I shared with him. This is what I felt. I felt the beat layered under the beat that builds this feeling of rest within purpose. I felt the confidence of God's rule and reign of love within the relationship of union of Father, Son, and Spirit. Son, align the rhythm of your life to be in time with our rest, and let your confidence and surety begin to manifest through all that you do. Son, never be driven by the circumstances and situations that you find yourself in. Respond or ignore from the rest of relationship within the I Am of the Tree of Life, not from the fear of the I Am Not Tree system. Son, do you hear it now? I am that I am that I am is the sound within the rhythm of my heart. Now, this is a sense of the beat, the I am that I am that I am. There's something rhythmic about it that you begin to feel. Son, harmonize with the sound of my heart. I am that I am that I am. To be, to be, to be, to be, to be. You see, when we engage with the I am that I am that I am, it enables us to be, to be, to be, to be, to be, to be. I am empowers me to be. I am empowers me to be, to be. I am empowers me to be. There's something rhythmic that we can engage with that can begin to bring us into an alignment when we get close, heart to heart. Heart to heart, or when we lay our head on his chest and we feel that heart, when our head is connected to that rhythm. The Father is a loving parent who will never force his children to do anything that is but patient, tolerant, kind, and is waiting with joyful anticipation for their return to sonship. The Father is patient, tolerant, and kind. That's what it says will draw people to come to that change of mind about God, his kindness, tolerance, and patience. He wants us. He wants the whole of creation. He's anticipating that return. The Father has love for all his children. That will never end, never fail, never give up, and never be separated from his children. The Father is passionate about all his children and is patiently working and waiting for all of them to return to an intimate, loving relationship with him. The Father so loves all his children that he's constantly enabling all our choices and decisions, even the worst and most stupid of them, to produce something good and be woven into the fulfillment of his heart's desire. The Father is my dad, and he's always available, is never too busy for me, never leaves me, always wants the best for me, is always interested in me, always welcomes me into his open arms of love. My loving dad is the most wonderful, faithful, trustworthy, patient, kind, good, joyful, peaceful, fun-loving, awesome father who is always sharing his heart and thoughts with me. And he is your dad too. Embrace him, know him, engage him. Son, see from this place of rest, empowered by my presence, sitting on my right hand. Here is where you use your legislation effectively with the scepter of your government. See the intent and desire of my heart in manifest vision. I began to see the clouds. This was an encounter that I was sat next to the Father, next to Jesus, next to the Father, next to the Ancient of Days, by the river of fire. And as I'm there, what opened up was a vision before me, and I began to see the clouds of the atmosphere over us, begin to clear. Then the light of heaven began radiating from the embassy of heaven that's established on earth. I saw the light of people's destiny shining with activity, abundance, and overflow. I saw love as an atmosphere of fragrant radiance with wellness, well-being, peace, wholeness, unity, oneness. I saw restoration of all things in action, fueling the city with light energy. I saw the vibrational energy of heaven's life resonating with the glorious convergence of heaven and earth. What I'm seeing is what God desires on earth as it is in heaven. New order ecclesia, embassies of heaven, cities of refuge, whatever you want to call them. Places where heaven is manifesting on earth, where heaven and earth come together in convergence. I saw a dome of energy extended around the spiritual atmospheres where the principalities, powers, and rulers are enthroned and administrating heaven's government into the earth. See, there's nothing wrong with a principality, a power, or a ruler if it's the right one. What we have in our atmosphere are the wrong ones. That is going to change when we start to bring heaven and earth together in alignment, to bring that agreement to deal with the atmosphere. God is calling the sons of God to arise. Question is, are you going to respond? Are you willing to respond? Are you willing to respond to the call? Let that call go forth once again. Hear the call. The call to the sons of God to arise, to take their places in heaven and on earth. The call for heaven's blueprints, heaven's mandates and strategies, heaven's scrolls to be released. That the sons of God will take their place, seated at the right hand of the Father, legislating heaven to manifest on earth. I call for the blueprints and mandates for ecclesias and embassies of heaven to be released. I call for the release of strategies from heaven to establish heaven on earth. I call for those beachheads to be established. I call for heaven and earth to come together in convergence. I call for those hearing this call to respond to their call for sons of God to arise, to respond and take their places, seated in the heavens, establishing foundations of heavenly government on the earth. I call for the sons of God to arise. I call for those embassies to be established on earth as they are in heaven. I call for those new order ecclesias. Let the sound go forth. Hear the sound of God's call. Hear the sound of God's desire, God's heart. That the amateurs in the new will embrace this call, will embrace this frequency, be willing to say, yes, here am I, send me. Willing to receive the mandate, the blueprint, to establish heaven in the earth. Hear the call. Respond to the call. Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I will arise. I will shine with love's light. I will demonstrate the love of God as a son of God on earth as it is in heaven.